like all Torontonians, we're shocked and appalled what recently happened.
Terrifying and troubling. Another frightening assault on Toronto's transit system. The attack on a woman at a station in the West End. Good evening. We want to warn you the details in this story are highly disturbing and the incident highly public.
The victim in her 20s doused in a liquid substance and set on fire. All this happening in front of horrified commuters. CTV's Andrew Brennan is live at Kipling Station in Etobicoke with more. Andrew.
John, Michelle, when we've been speaking with riders that were trying to leave the station, they said they had no idea what was going on and disturbed to find out the news, but also unsure of how they would be able to get home based on how busy it was.
A lunch hour bus ride for a female passenger ended in horror. Witnesses telling police a man poured a flammable liquid on a woman inside a TTC bus and then ignited it.
It was TTC employees that actually responded right there at the incident, and were able to help the police capture the suspect.
The man was taken into custody. According to Toronto police, witnesses helped the victim before she was rushed to hospital. The station was closed for hours as police investigated. While passengers were ushered on shuttle buses from the street, some unaware what had happened.
That's horrible. It's really, really bad. I don't know what else to say. I just wish we knew what to do in this sort of a situation.
They just told us to come out here for the shuttle. That's it.
The head of the TTC says despite a rise in reported incidents on subways and buses, the TTC moves hundreds of millions of people a year, and staff, he says, respond quickly in a crisis.
We are waiting for Toronto police to arrive to provide an update on the victim. We still don't know the extent of her injuries. Obviously, they sound quite serious based on such a disturbing incident. We want to find out more about that. But also, the mayor responding this afternoon saying that TTC and police will leave no stone unturned in trying to get to the bottom of this situation and give some assurances and reassurances to Torontonians. Reporting live, I'm Andrew Brennan. Sean, back to you.
Thank you, Andrew. Now to the search for this man, wanted in connection to a death of a woman in Brampton. Her body found inside a home early this morning. That property is now the focus of a significant police investigation.
It's believed the suspect was in a relationship with the victim, and he is considered armed and dangerous. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live near Aloma Crescent and Avondale Boulevard with the latest. Scott.
Michelle, we're in the Dixie and Steeles area of Brampton. You can still see a very active scene here behind me. We're told the victim lived in the basement of the home behind me. As you mentioned, the man police believe is involved in this incident was in a relationship with her. He is now missing. Police say he is armed and dangerous, and they're hoping the public can help find him.
The call came in just before 6 a.m. Peel police responding to this home on Aloma Crescent in Brampton, just off Avondale Boulevard.
The cops said that they got a noise complaint in the morning, so somebody actually did. It could be the people living upstairs.
The call was for a disturbance, but the first officers on scene found something much worse.
Officers arrived on scene and located a deceased adult woman with obvious signs of trauma.
Police aren't saying how they believe the woman died, but say this is a murder investigation.
We have our homicide here on scene. We do have our forensic identification unit on scene as well. And we will be canvassing the area for witnesses and video.
A short time later, investigators released a photo of the man they believe was involved in the incident. His name is Linval Alfonso Ritchie. Peel police say he's 29 years old and was in a relationship with the victim. Police say he's wanted for murder and is considered armed and dangerous. They say he's also known to use two different vehicles, a red four-door 2008 Mitsubishi Lancer, license plate CMLT713, and a gray four-door 2006 Audi, license plate CLJJ458. Throughout the afternoon, investigators could be seen searching a wooded area behind the home, looking through a nearby waterway, and searching dumpsters at a plaza not far from the scene. Neighbors on this normally quiet street been left shaken by the incident.
I just saw the woman like 2 days ago. Like, that was the first time I ever saw her, actually. And she looked pretty fine, like in the back, a normal person in the evening coming out. And yeah, it's pretty scary and terrifying.
If you spot Linval Ritchie or you know his whereabouts, Peel Police would like to hear from you. Again, he is considered armed and dangerous. If you are Linval Ritchie, Peel Police say get a lawyer. Turn yourself in. Reporting live in Brampton, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Loved ones call it a never-ending pain. Three lives lost in a devastating crash nearly 4 years ago. The victims, a mother and two children.
That tragedy touching two families. A sentencing hearing is now underway for the man who was driving the other vehicle involved. CTV's John Musselman is live in Brampton with that. John.
Sean, we heard some very emotional victim impact statements here today. Family and friends talking about the impact this has had on their lives.
Salvina Greco lost her niece Lily Jones, lost her mother and her little brother. Two families torn apart by grief and pain in a horrific crash that both families say should never have happened.
I would like to see justice for once. It's been almost 3.5 years that they've been gone, and still it's still an ongoing process.
It was back in August of 2018 when Allison Jones, her 7-year-old son Miles, and his friend 12-year-old Julia Recobeni died in a multi-vehicle crash on Highway 50 in Nashville Road. Found guilty in their deaths was Paul Manzon, who was 45 years old at the time. He was driving a Corvette 163 kilometers per hour, 5 seconds before impact.
He just needs to hear the three lives that he took away from his careless actions. He needs to hear how incredible these lives were and the impact of their loss that has been on everyone, family members, friends, the whole community, actually.
Lily Jones was in the car that night, and she survived the crash. She says it is important for her to be here for her mom and her little brother.
I wish I could say I'm okay, but I think that's the complete opposite, and I'm nothing close to that. It's definitely one of the most hard and most struggling things that I've probably ever had to go through in my life.
Today, family and friends filled a Brampton courtroom to read victim impact statements as part of the sentencing hearing. Many of Julia's former schoolmates were here. They are now 16 years old.
We've experienced things that you should not experience at the age that we were experiencing it at. And it was just important to come here and show that this is our lives now. This is what we have to deal with.
Manzon was found guilty of dangerous driving causing death. He wasn't in the courtroom today to hear the statements read out because his lawyer says he has COVID symptoms. Instead, the convicted man listened through a Zoom connection. Greco told the court that Manzon's irresponsible actions that day has started a never-ending journey of pain and suffering.
And more than 80 victim impact statements have been filed with the court. This sentencing hearing will continue in September. Reporting live outside the Brampton courthouse, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
Thank you, John. Straight ahead, from unrepaired park facilities to closed public pools, why Toronto may not be ready for the summer. Will families miss out this sunny season?
And on that very topic, let's take a look outside. It's been a hot and humid week, and many of us likely have some plans to spend time outdoors this weekend. Will things stay toasty, or is a change on the way? It's certainly been a blustery one, and to that effect, there is a special weather statement in effect for Toronto and the GTA. Michelle Jobin is here. How much wind are we talking?
Well, we've had very gusty winds throughout the day. They have intensified in the last little while. Originally, Mississauga, Brampton, the city of Toronto, not in the special weather statement. But now, as we take a look at it, we are, and that's because wind gusts intensified in the last little while. They are currently out of the northwest, a very different feel than the flow of air we had earlier this week. So right now they're sustained at 54 kilometers an hour in Toronto. In the Peterborough area, we had gusts as high as 85 kilometers an hour. They're sustained, or gusts up to 72 kilometers an hour at Pearson right now. So very windy. Power outages have been occurring. This is on top of what we were dealing with from yesterday's storm in some regions. So it is quite a challenging situation out there. Temperature-wise, we're at 25 at the islands, 24 at Pearson, negligible humidity, 12 degrees overnight, a cooler, fresher feel for the weekend. Back to you.
Thanks, Michelle. It's still 4 years away, but the level of excitement is already mounting. World Cup soccer is coming to Toronto.
Fans can't wait, but there's a lot of work to be done between now and 2026.
At AC Ranch Cafe on St. Clair today, Frank DiMaria can't believe the World Cup is coming to town.
Surprised, something that's really, really surprised that we're going to have something different and a lot of emotions and a lot's going on.
The World Cup will be played in part in Canada, the announcement made Thursday in New York City.
For once, Canada will see the extent and the volume of this sport on a global scale and how attractive it is.
The 10 games played in Canada will be divided between Toronto and Vancouver, and they'll come at a cost. The overall cost of hosting the World Cup in Toronto is estimated to be $28.6 million. It's anticipated the federal and provincial governments will cover $177 million of that, leaving the city's share around $73.8 million.
I think it's going to be great for the game. It's going to be great for the city. It's going to be great for the economy. It's going to be great for the spirit of the city.
Many hope the cost of hosting the games will be an investment for the future.
Short-term investment has to be viewed in the context of a long-term benefit, because tourists to this city are going to help everybody in this economy, as well as companies coming here, as well as the global exposure that an event like this can bring the city is tremendous. You can't pay for that type of exposure.
As for fans, some dream that along with watching games here at home, they may also get to cheer on their home country in the quest for football's Holy Grail.
I hope that it will happen to Canada and be the big winner, and that we can celebrate Canada too. Why not?
And it's still unknown just how many games Toronto will ultimately host.
Two people are dead, two others are hurt after a series of crashes last night on the QEW in Mississauga. This happened around 10:30 p.m. in the eastbound lanes near Cawthra Road. Provincial police say two vehicles were involved in a crash and blocking the left lane when a third vehicle hit them. The drivers of the first two cars, a man and a woman, were pronounced dead at the scene. One passenger was critically hurt, while the third driver had minor injuries. The investigation is ongoing. And some scary moments in Scarborough this morning after a large sign fell off a building near a major intersection. Police were called to Eglinton Avenue East and Kennedy Road just after 10:30. A pedestrian in her 70s was transported to hospital in serious condition, but police say she was not hit by the sign. The Ministry of Labor was also called in to attend the incident.
Gas prices have fallen to their lowest level in 2 weeks. Canadians for Affordable Energy President Dan McTagg forecast a 3-cent drop at midnight. That brought the average price to just shy of $2.04 a liter at most GTA stations. McTagg predicts prices will go up a cent tomorrow before dropping just under $2 a liter for the first time since May.
Canadian parents should know fairly soon whether a COVID-19 vaccine will be approved for infants and preschoolers. Federal officials say regulators will likely have a decision on that in the coming weeks. In the U.S., the first shots for children under 5 have been given the green light. The authorization by the Food and Drug Administration allows Moderna and Pfizer to begin shipping millions of pre-ordered doses. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is expected to give final approval this weekend, and vaccinations could begin next week.
Meanwhile, Canada's top doctor provided an update today on the monkeypox situation.
We continue to collaborate with provinces and territories, as well as partners, such as community-based organizations and representatives from affected communities, to monitor and respond to the evolving monkeypox situation.
There are 168 confirmed cases of monkeypox in Canada. All infections have been between men between the ages of 20 and 69, but local health authorities have indicated the rate of growth is slowing. There are 21 confirmed cases in Ontario. 18 of them are in Toronto. A warning that this next story is disturbing. A retired priest has been charged in an historical indecent assault investigation.
The alleged victim was a young student at a former residential school in Manitoba. CTV's Adrian Gobriel reports.
I think it's, slow-paced, snail-paced investigations that are happening here across the country.
92-year-old retired priest Father Arthur Moss arrested for the alleged sexual assault of a 10-year-old girl who was a young student at Fort Alexander Residential School, northeast of Winnipeg, in the late 60s.
The MO of a lot of these people and clergy that were in these types of schools were preying upon our peoples.
The residential school was known among survivors for its history of abuse, including starvation and brutal discipline. Manitoba RCMP launched their investigation in 2011. On the defensive today, as they try to explain why it took more than a decade for an arrest to be made.
It took approximately 80 officers. The amount of work, like I say, going over all over North America. You've got to track down student lists. You've got to track down employee lists.
It shouldn't take that long to do an investigation. I mean, that's 12 years that this courageous survivor was living with this type of uncertainty. It doesn't really help send a message to other victims out there that you can come forward and things will be done expediently.
Moss, who taught at the school between 1968 and 1970, was arrested at his home and charged with indecent assault. Investigators contacted more than 700 people across North America, obtaining 75 witness and victim statements, though in the end, laying just one single charge.
Unfortunately, due to the passage of time, many of the victims are not able to participate in the investigation, whether that be for mental or physical health reasons, or because the victim is now deceased.
Some survivors have their own theory.
This is a really traumatic portion of their life that most First Nation survivors have put, you know, in their past. And it's a challenge to bring that forward.
Adrian Gobriel, CTV News, Toronto.
It is the first step in what will likely be a long road to European Union membership. The EU's executive arm recommended today that Ukraine be given candidate status.
In view of the Commission, Ukraine has clearly demonstrated the country's aspiration and the country's determination to live up to European values and standards.
Leaders of the 27-nation bloc are scheduled to discuss the recommendation during a summit next week in Brussels, but it will likely take years or even decades for it to receive membership. Ukraine will be required to carry out a number of reforms.
In another show of Western support, Boris Johnson made an unannounced visit to Kyiv today. The British Prime Minister went for a walk in the capital with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The two leaders placed flowers at a memorial wall for soldiers who died fighting in 2014. Along with his solidarity, Johnson offered a major training operation for Ukrainian forces. It's his second visit to Kyiv since Russia invaded.
Julian Assange's wife says he will appeal. The British government approved his extradition to the United States today to face spying charges.
We're not at the end of the road here. We're going to fight this.
The WikiLeaks founder is wanted in the U.S. after his website released hundreds of thousands of classified military records and diplomatic cables. Washington said it put lives in danger. His supporters say Assange is a journalist who exposed U.S. military wrongdoing in Iraq and Afghanistan. He has 14 days to launch an appeal.
As Canadians struggle amid sky-high inflation, the federal government has been under pressure this week to do more about it. We're joined by Evan Solomon, the host of CTV's Question Period and Power Play. Evan, the Deputy Prime Minister was touting their affordability plan this week, but will it do the trick?
Well, there's a political answer and there's a policy answer. Politically, the finance minister said this is a new affordability plan. It's brand new. It was highly touted. The problem is there was literally nothing new in it, not one new dollar, not one new tax break. But there will be money that Canadians have never seen before because everything she promised was in the last budget. Let me just read something to you. Will there be increased old age security by 10%? Yes, we knew that was coming, but it's new money. Boosting Canada's worker benefit by $1.7 billion? Yes, we already knew that, though, but the money's new. So there's a bunch of new measures here that total $8.9 billion, but it's all before we knew about it in the budget. So there's nothing technically new, but the money will be new. So politically, she raised expectations that this was all new. So that was probably a miss. We'll find out whether this firepower that she loaded up in the budget will actually work. The Conservatives and the NDP are both disappointed because the Conservatives say, give people relief right now and get rid of the gas tax and double the GST rebate, says the NDP. They didn't do that. So nothing new, and the question is, nothing immediate, will this work in the long fight for inflation remains to be seen.
Evan, something that is new, this coming Monday, the unvaccinated in Canada will be able to do something they haven't done in a while, get on a plane and a train. What role did politics play in dropping the vaccine travel mandates?
It's a great question. Look, there's medical science and political science. This was probably more political science. I pressed the ministers. In fact, this weekend on Question Period, I'll press the Minister of Transport again. What was the threshold used medically to show that you no longer needed mandates? After all, we know that two vaccines are no longer good enough. Was there some kind of threshold that you lifted mandates this coming Monday versus, I don't know, last month? Oh, well, we used a lot of different things. There's really no scientific threshold. It's very political right now. They realize that they're way behind the provinces in dropping mandates. There's no data to support the mandates. And, of course, there's clogs at the airports. None of this, which will actually be helped. But I will say this. The government has always been cautious on this. They remain cautious because they're worried about another variant. And most people are just worried about, finally, after 2 years, will they get to travel and get through Pearson Airport and those lineups? They're going down slowly, but not quick enough. That's a political problem for this government.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Evan, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Rochelle. And happy Father's Day, everybody.
Happy Father's Day to you. Hope you have time with your two kids. Appreciate it. And a reminder to join Evan on Sunday for CTV's Question Period and weeknights for Power Play on CTV News Channel. It's the kind of place that would typically be in high demand at this time of year. So why will this public pool be off limits?
The situation now prompting questions about other outdoor spaces in the city as we look towards summer. CTV's Beth McDonnell joins us live with more. Beth.
Sean, it certainly feels like summer tonight in the park. There are people playing tennis, playing baseball, out walking their dogs, but every park in the city isn't ready for summer. Damage from winter weather is putting a chill on summer. Now, emergency pool liner repairs are hastily underway at one of the City of Toronto's most popular places to swim. The opening of the 25-meter pool and dive tank in the beach delayed at Donald D. Somerville Olympic Pool.
It's disappointing that it's not open, because I love taking a dip on a hot day. Sure.
The largest of the three pools, the 50-meter, will be closed for the summer season. The city says staff can't source and install the liner in time.
This is the spot to come. It's like one of the biggest, most funnest pools in the city, and right on the beach like this, it's great to have. And I think everybody that lives in the neighborhood should have access to it.
Starting tomorrow, 10 pools are opening on evenings and weekends. June 25th, the remaining 45 pools will open on a partial schedule, with full schedules picking up June 30th.
I think it would be great if the pools are open earlier.
A few minutes west of the beach at Greenwood Park, some say the water should already be ready for taking a dip.
This is a great neighborhood for the pools to be open. Like, this park is always busy. I should definitely be on the list of the pools open earlier.
The city says the phased schedule is typical, and it normally starts opening pools early to mid-June. Demand is less when kids are in school, and many pool staff are high school and university students.
But for so many people in our city, they don't have backyards.
Councillor Josh Matlow says problems with accessing outdoor city spaces goes beyond pools to washrooms and drinking fountains in parks. He's pushing to have amenities available earlier in the season, as the last freeze usually comes around the May long weekend. And he says he's hearing issues from people across the city.
Far too often over the past several weeks, they found that the water fountain was not on, that there was a lock on their local bathroom in their local park, and that impacted their ability to enjoy the outdoors.
The city says, with exception of seasonal washrooms and drinking fountains needing repair, all are now open, and only six were unable to open by the May long weekend, also because of repairs. Two remain closed due to construction. When it comes to taking a swim this year, unlike previous pandemic years, you don't need to make a reservation for a leisure swim. You can just show up. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Coming up, embarking on a career in saving lives. Meet Toronto's brand new firefighters on their graduation day.
I'm Pat Foran, and coming up on Consumer Alert, are you planning a barbecue this weekend? If so, you may be reaching for a burger or a steak. Have you thought of giving plant-based meats a try? Now there are more to choose from, but are they really healthier for you? I'll have that story. That's just ahead.
Winds diminishing a little in the next few hours. Still breezy overnight with some cloud cover and 12 degrees. Then cool for the weekend, but pretty nice still. Lots of sunshine, 20 degrees, a little bit of a breeze tomorrow. 21 on Sunday for Father's Day. Lots of sunshine then as well. I'll be back soon with your full 7-day forecast.
Inflation has driven up the cost of our grocery bills, and that's the case whether you're buying burgers made of chicken or tofu.
More Canadians are interested in trying out new plant-based meat products, but are they really better for you? Here's Pat Foran and Consumer Alert.
When you're in the meat section of the grocery aisle, you'll see a lot more plant-based meats in the form of sausages, nuggets, and even fishless fish sticks. How they taste is a matter of personal preference, and many are highly processed. So when it comes to ingredients, you may want to check their labels. With summer weather comes the tradition of the backyard barbecue, burgers, hot dogs, and for some, plant-based meats. As more people try to get more veggies and less meat on their plates, these faux meats may end up on the grill. But how do they taste?
Our panelists thought none were identical to real meat, but some came close. We actually found one in each category to be very good.
Researchers at Consumer Reports found the Impossible and Beyond brands were the most meat-like among burgers. The main reason some people might consider switching to eating plant-based nuggets is because they think they're healthier. But are they?
While many of the products we tested had fewer calories and less artery-clogging saturated fat, most had more sodium than real meat.
A closer look at the ingredients will reveal that even though these foods are plant-based, they are still ultra-processed.
The evidence supporting plant-based diets points to eating more whole foods, like fruits, vegetables, grains, tofu, and beans. And these mock meats are more processed and not whole foods.
Many of these plant-based meats also claim to be better for the environment. While that may be true, eating grass-fed animals raised on sustainable farms may also be beneficial for the planet. The bottom line, plant-based meats are a mixed bag. While they aren't the healthiest of foods, they can be a good thing if you want to limit your red meat intake. Meat prices have gone up substantially over the past 2 years, but so have plant-based meats due to their ingredients and supply chain issues. But the makers of plant-based products say as more people give them a try, prices should come down over time. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
It's a big weekend for events and festivals across the city, and that means a number of road closures to keep in mind. Taste of Little Italy is back after a two-year hiatus. The street festival features food, music, rides, and admission is free. College Street is already closed for the event between Bathurst and Shaw. It'll reopen at 10 on Sunday night.
And that's not the only event closing down city streets this weekend. The Toronto Waterfront 10K will shut down Lakeshore Boulevard West between Bathurst and Windermere tomorrow morning between 4 and 11 a.m. On Sunday, the Yorkville Exotic Car Show takes over Bloor Street West from Avenue to Bay. It will stay closed to vehicles from 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m.
And active TO closures are also in effect from tomorrow morning through Sunday night. Bayview will be closed to vehicles from Rosedale Valley Road to Lauren Harris Square. River Street will be shut down from Bayview to Spruce Street. And the Meadoway will be also be closed between Brimley and Scarborough Golf Club Road.
And you got to think the organizers of all these events are pretty happy about the forecast because it's dry. And I don't know, it's kind of nice when it's sunny, but not too oppressively hot.
Yeah, especially for these outdoor events, especially for like the Waterfront 10K. When we're thinking about that, runners don't want things to be too hot and humid. So we are trending a little bit below seasonal as we get into the weekend. That's really going to start tomorrow night. It's a very different feel. But we do have the sunshine in place. And if you're missing the heat and humidity, it's on the way back next weekend, so it won't be gone for very long. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop the train. So we had the heat, humidity, and volatility yesterday. Today, you know, it's still been warm. Humidity has been much reduced. And with this cold front going through, we've really had a big change in terms of we've had these wind speeds and the direction from where the winds are coming from. So I just want to check in with temperatures right now. We're at 24, feeling like 26. Most of the GTA getting into the mid-20s today with just a touch of humidity. Really not feeling that too much at all. This has been the big story. We've got this special weather statement that's in place right now. It says wind gusts up to 70 kilometers an hour. Well, we've already exceeded that in many regions. In fact, as we look towards our gusts right now, we're at 72 in Toronto, and at Peterborough earlier, we had gusts up to 85 kilometers an hour. So there has been wind damage or power outages as well. So that is a bit of a concern. These should start to subside in the next little while, but we're going to keep that flow of air out of the northwest. Cool overnight, 12 degrees as our overnight low. We've been trending around 20, 19, 20 degrees.
degrees in the last few nights, so it's going to feel quite different. A seasonal would be 14 degrees. And tomorrow, keeping with that trend, 20 degrees, feeling like 25, UV index will still be an 8 or high. So keep that in mind. Just because it's a little cooler, you still need that sun protection if you're out for it during the day tomorrow. But it is going to be still a bit on the breezy side. We have had this big twist of low pressure. It's been the big weather maker for us and many others across the country. And as its associated cold front sweeps through, that's what's really changing things up. We'll have more cloud cover, I should say, through the overnight period. That's going to clear right out as we get into tomorrow, and I'll show you how that works. So pausing here around 11 p.m., still having some clear skies around Hamilton, Niagara. That works its way in. And then really starts to clear out by the time we get to tomorrow morning. Lingering cloud in eastern Ontario, showers tonight. But even that clears out for tomorrow. And then Sunday, very much a repeat. We have lots of sunshine during the day and temperatures very close. If you're in cottage country this weekend, be prepared. Those overnight lows, early morning temperatures, quite cool, getting down into low single digits in the Muskoka region. But 20 tomorrow, not really much of humidity. Breezy, 21 for Father's Day on Sunday. Breezy as well, 10 degrees both nights overnight. 20 for Monday, and then we start to climb for the summer solstice on Tuesday. 29 degrees, 29 for Wednesday, 27 for Thursday, and 25 for Friday. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, how's this for a fun way to spend a school day?
A chance for some students in Pickering to get active for a good cause. CTV's Carol Charles has more.
The tie-dye crew led the way to an afternoon of fun in the sun. Grade 6 teacher Kathy Whitehead spearheaded the Jump Rope for Heart fundraiser at Gandet-Santiagon Public School in Pickering.
It took us about 4 months to plan. We haven't had one for 3 years since 2019, so it's really nice to get the kids back out and doing it and getting involved. We've surpassed our goal. We raised over $2,000, and for these times, there's a lot of people struggling right now, so I think we did a fine job raising money for this great cause.
Jump Rope for Heart encourages students to get active by jumping rope while they collect pledges for heart disease and stroke research. This year, Heart and Stroke is aiming to get 1 million kids jumping in close to 4,000 schools across Canada.
It's really good to be jumping out here for all the kids who've had heart diseases or struggle with heart concerns. So it's really good to get out here active and jumping for them.
There are a lot of people who have had issues with their hearts, and I think it's very important to help them. And it's fun to skip outside.
So much fun that the kids dared me to keep up with them. I think 21 continuous skips in a row is a good showing.
Go Cameron! Go Cameron!
Close to 550 kids took part in this fundraiser. The young ones doing some stretches out on the field, and the intermediate level kids showing off their basketball skills in a Hoops for Hearts scrimmage. Carol Charles, CTV News.
Also tonight, Drake drops a surprise album, a peek at brand new music from the Toronto rapper. Welcome back. The clock is ticking for adult patients with a degenerative condition known as SMA.
There are Health Canada approved medications for them, but many are having a hard time accessing them. Here's our health reporter, Pauline Chan.
Julia, she's the most valuable thing in my life, and I'm unable to hold her.
There was a time when Noma Hamash could hold her niece Julia in her arms and play with her, but spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA, has robbed her of that ability. In many ways, she's one of the lucky ones. Many children with SMA die in childhood. But in recent years, medical breakthroughs have created new treatments, including Zolgensma, which halts the degenerating symptoms with just one infusion. But for adult patients, the evidence on the effectiveness of these treatments is less clear.
Because the research was done on children, CADTH recommends not paying for it for adults.
CADTH advises the government on drugs and medical devices. Noma is seeking coverage for one of the two medications approved for use in adults, and she says several other countries, plus Quebec, have approved it. And anecdotal evidence shows adult patients have responded well to Spinraza, with some even showing improvements. Susie Vanderwick of SMA Canada says the medications may be expensive, but the long-term benefits are important for patients and society.
Holding their jobs, being able to stand and
and take care of their own personal needs.
Dr. Aaron Eisenberg says considerations for adult patients are different.
View the evidence for adults through a different lens because it's not as practical to get the evidence in adults. And also the expectation for the type of benefit that these medications would have in adults should be different.
It's not going to be as effective as with children. Children are still growing.
But what it can offer patients like Noma is a better quality of life. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
3 years after losing in the final to the Toronto Raptors, the Golden State Warriors are NBA champions again. This was the scene in the Warriors' locker room last night after they took Game 6 in Boston. Golden State topped the Celtics 103-90 for their fourth title in the last eight seasons. Steph Curry was named MVP, but he got help from a Torontonian, Andrew Wiggins, who showed his patriotism after the game. The 27-year-old brought along a Canadian flag that he displayed during the post-game interviews. The former number one pick has come into his own, contributing 18 points and 6 rebounds last night. Wiggins is the eighth Canadian to win an NBA title.
Man, it feels good. It feels amazing. You put in so much work, so much time to make it here, and, you know, the end result is becoming a champion. You know, so there's nothing like it.
It's been an incredible comeback for the Warriors. They had the NBA's worst record in 2019-20, in large part because of roster turnover. The bounce back was supposed to be last season, but they lost in the play-in tournament. The franchise has won 7 championships overall.
Imagine the roar. The Canadian Grand Prix is returning to Montreal this weekend. The city will host its first race since 2019 after 2 pandemic cancellations. Formula One racing fans had a chance to see crews put the final touches on their cars today. The race marks the start of summer in Montreal's tourism sector, with hotels and bars expected to be packed all weekend. Vince McMahon is stepping back from his roles as CEO and chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment while he faces a misconduct probe. WWE is investigating a report McMahon agreed to pay hush money to a former employee over an alleged affair. The 76-year-old has owned the company since 1982. His daughter Stephanie will serve as interim CEO and chairwoman. McMahon says he will do everything possible to support the investigation and will accept its outcome.
Justin Bieber has canceled the remaining dates of his North American tour as he faces ongoing medical issues. The singer took to social media last week explaining he's dealing with partial facial paralysis. Bieber was diagnosed with Ramsey-Hunt syndrome and is receiving ongoing treatment. Tour promoter Live Nation says Bieber is upbeat about his recovery and he hopes to resume his tour in Europe on July 31st.
Drake fans who are waiting for new music got a big surprise last night. With very little warning, the Toronto singer's record label said his album Honestly, Nevermind would be dropping at midnight and shared an image of the cover. This is Drake's 7th studio album. It's a follow-up to Certified Lover Boy, which was released last September.
A decades-old song that's gone viral in recent weeks has made its way to the top of the charts across the pond. Kate Bush's song Running Up That Hill hit number 1 in the UK today. The track has seen a surge in interest after it appeared in an episode of Stranger Things. The song has now set a record for the longest time to get to number 1, 37 years. Bush says she's overwhelmed and moved by how much love the song has received. A landmark building that was made famous by a hit TV series, Schitt's Creek, is now on the market. Fans will recognize this 2-story home in the village of Goodwood as the building that became Rose Apothecary. A storefront is attached to the apothecary, which has a listing price of $2.35 million. It's just the latest Schitt's Creek property to go on sale, joining the motel that was portrayed in the series and a mansion that the main characters lived in before they were forced to move.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
This is an isolated incident. Preliminary investigations have led our investigators to believe that this is a random attack.
Updating our top stories and a warning now of disturbing details. Toronto police are investigating after witnesses say a man poured flammable liquid on a woman inside a TTC bus at Kipling Station and ignited it. The victim, in her 20s, was taken to hospital in critical condition, and a 35-year-old man is now in custody.
Officers arrived on scene and located a deceased adult woman with obvious signs of trauma.
Peel police have launched a homicide investigation after a woman was found dead at a Brampton home early this morning. They're searching for this man, 29-year-old Linval Alfonso Ritchie. They say he was in a relationship with the victim and is considered to be armed and dangerous.
I wish I could say I'm okay, but I think that's the complete opposite, and I'm nothing close to that.
Emotional moments in a Brampton courtroom today at a sentencing hearing for Paul Manzon. He was convicted in a triple fatal crash back in 2018. Loved ones of the victims read out impact statements saying they face never-ending pain to this day.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar dropped 55 basis points to 76.76 U.S. American benchmark oil slid 8.03 a barrel to 109.56. And the TSX Composite Index lost 73 points to close at 18,930.
Frank Gehry is known worldwide for his iconic building designs, and he's in the city this week to promote an ongoing project here in Toronto. Gehry designed two residential skyscrapers that will be going up along King Street West and Duncan Street. One of the towers will be a whopping 84 stories tall when completed. The other will be 73 stories. The condominiums will be located near the entertainment and financial districts, and Gehry says he hopes they help solidify the area's identity.
We still hope to have a canopy over Mervish Way that joins the two entrances. It doesn't have to be covered, but just to make it a place. I think Mervish Way deserves to be a place.
He hails from Toronto originally and said he designed the buildings with Toronto's own architectural identity in mind, honoring the city that he knew growing up.
Just ahead, a big day for Toronto Fire Services welcoming the new recruits who are willing to risk their lives to save others.
Toronto is one of the most vibrant, diverse, and interesting cities on the planet. We're a world leader in many areas like business, finance, technology, entertainment, and culture.
Each week, Things to Know TO shines a spotlight on a wide variety of local businesses, services, events, and initiatives from across the GTA that are working to make our city even greater.
And one of the world's best places to live, work, and play. Join us Saturday mornings for Things to Know TO.
Finally tonight, meeting some of Toronto's newest firefighters.
A graduation of heroes, the class of 2022, ready to save lives. Here's CTV's Janice Golden.
With great pomp and circumstance, the newest recruits were welcomed into the Toronto Fire Services.
We started this academy as strangers, and today we will graduate alongside some of our best friends.
A group whose experience and backgrounds run the gamut. This group of recruits speaks 21 languages and has held careers from professional sports to education and the sciences. There's even an arborist in the bunch.
It's a very physical career, and I love, obviously, using my body in challenging ways.
40-year-old Tyler Gledhill, for example, spent 21 years as a contemporary dancer, but he says the leap from ballet to firefighting was a natural one.
Women in dance are supposed to look effortless, and they're supposed to float in the air. I've been supporting my partners, and I think that's something that I can bring to this. Job.
Meanwhile, Kyle Jones played 6 years in the CFL.
My whole life's been about team and all about like competition, training for something bigger than yourself.
Jones even won two Grey Cups, one with the Toronto Argonauts.
It's cool to have played for the city and now kind of serve the city, kind of full circle.
And I've served in Afghanistan, Bosnia, Macedonia, and a few domestic operations around our country.
David Haru, meanwhile, served in the Canadian Armed Forces for 21 years.
I served the broader community of Canada, and now I want to come home and serve my local community here.
Joseph Reed came from a more academic background. He was a chiropractor and high school science teacher.
My eye kept me from being a career firefighter.
Reed overcame blindness in one eye following a devastating crash in 2011 to pursue his true heart's dream.
This is what I've always been passionate about. Don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed chiropractic and, you know, it was a healthy living, but this is you know, what I wanted to do every day.
For mom of three, Julie McNeely Heath, firefighting is a family affair.
My two brothers are firefighters in Ottawa. One is a volunteer, one is a full-timer, and we're hoping that our little brother actually eventually becomes a full-timer as well.
Beyond that, her husband is also a firefighter.
I'm very proud, and especially because look at these three young ladies in front of me, right? I want them to grow up knowing that they can do this kind of stuff as well.
Chief Matthew Pegg says while their backgrounds are diverse, these recruits are united in one way.
They have this insatiable desire to just help people. And that is what comes across in their applications. It's what comes across in their interview, and it's what comes across in everything that they do.
So while they may have had different paths into the service, these recruits will join their brethren at fire stations across the city starting tomorrow. Janice Golding, CTV News.
Congratulations to all of them. Okay, so if you're heading out, when to contend with, at least keep that in mind.
Quite gusty right now. We are still under a special weather statement here in the city of Toronto and really for much of the GTA. Let's take a look at that, where we are seeing wind gusts in excess of 70 kilometers an hour. So, of course, biggest danger there is, of course, objects blowing around and fallen branches causing power outages. So be careful out there. Right now, wind gusts are up to 72 kilometers an hour in Toronto. Those will subside in the next few hours. 12 degrees overnight, cloud cover, then clearing tomorrow. Tomorrow in 20. Great day for Father's Day. A little cool, 21 degrees and sunny. That summer-like heat returns for the first day of summer next week. And a reminder, tonight's Lotto Max jackpot is an estimated $55 million plus six Max Millions.
Thanks, Michelle. And be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin here and all of us at CTV News, have a great night.